Now I get to preach the word. Amen. Psalm 100 this morning. Why should I be thankful? Why should I be thankful? Psalm 100. Let's stand together as we read from God's word. The Bible says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Amen.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good,
all the time,
and his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations." Father, bless the reading of your word and the preaching of it this morning, that we would learn even more why we should be thankful. The Holy Spirit be our teacher and our guide now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. When you read about the history of this nation and its founding, our forefathers seem to have no trouble giving thanks where thanks was due, and that was to God. In 1621, with Indians as their guest, they gathered around a table for the New World's first Thanksgiving dinner. And what a time that must have been. By the world standards today, they probably didn't have much to seemingly be thankful for. But the harvest was in, and they were grateful to God for all that he had done to make this time of thanksgiving possible for them. When you study their lives, you know that their needs were great, that there were no supermarkets to go and buy last-minute items, and they had to face cold and hunger and sickness that threatened their lives on a daily basis. And still, they were willing to give thanks for what God had done and how God had brought them to a new world where they could worship him in freedom. Well, a whole lot of things have changed since that first Thanksgiving Day. This land produces mass amounts of food and fuel and finished products than any other nation in the world. Science and technology have brought about things that make us scratch our head in amazement that anything like that could possibly take place. But like the pilgrims of old, you and I have great needs as well. But our problem is that in the midst of our great needs and the great needs of this land of ours, there is little, if any, words of thanksgiving being offered to God. Now, our nation, for the most part, has forfeited an attitude of gratitude. I mean, many look at their own lives and the situation that this world is in, and many may wonder what there is to be thankful for. What in the world do I have going on in my life that I can give God thanks for, because it all looks so dark, it all looks so bleak, it all looks so hopeless? And if God is so powerful, then why are we in the mess that we're in today? Why are we at war? Why are the winds of moral and spiritual pollution flooding our land, pointing toward a bleak and not a bright future? Why is all of that happening? Well, there are times that we need to remind ourselves of something. And that is that everything that God created, when he backed off and took a good look at it, he said it was good. Matter of fact, he said it was very good, everything that he had created. And so the initial creation of this world and everything that was in it was good. Nothing wrong with it. But then man came along. Man was created on the sixth day. And the Bible says that after 6 days of creation, that God saw that all He had made was very good, including man. But we need to fast forward a little bit. And to fast forward a little bit, the only thing in creation, and I want you to get this, that eventually became disobedient to God's plan for its creation was man. Mountains still standing where mountains are supposed to stand. Rocks doing what rocks are supposed to do. Water doing what water is supposed to do. But man, now that's a different story, because God had a plan for man, and that was to work and to live in the Garden of Eden. To eat from any tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For God said, when you eat of that tree, you will surely die. I really don't think I have to go into the rest of the story about how Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And when they did that, the world that was as God created it to be became a fallen world in which you and I live right now. Now, since that time, man has had his ups and downs. He's had good days and bad days. Even God's people at times couldn't figure out whose side they really wanted to be on. And I think that part of the problem was a lack of thanksgiving that had infiltrated their lives. I mean, when you think about it, God's people were seemingly never satisfied. They were never happy. If you read their story in the Old Testament, they had a tendency to murmur. They had a tendency to complain about what God was doing, about whom God had placed in leadership over them. And when you fast forward a little bit more in their story, we see their image reflected in our lives. Nothing's really changed. Just some generations have come and gone. But it's pretty much the same. The absence of thanksgiving in our lives leads to the ruination of the attitude of gratitude that should permeate our lives, not just one day a year, but every day of the year. So why should we be thankful to God? I asked this basic question on Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night. Why should we come before the Lord as thankful people? Why should we do that? Why does the Bible tell us that we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, and we are to give thanks to Him, and we are to praise His name? Let me give you several reasons why we ought to be thankful this morning. First of all, because God deserves our thanks. Thanking God means more than the word thanks. When we are truly thankful unto God, our lives will reflect that thanksgiving with what I like to call thanks living. We will live with an attitude of gratitude for what God does for us on a daily basis. We will live that attitude in our present day lives. In Revelation chapter 4, as a matter of fact, go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 4. We catch two glimpses of praise around the throne of God in heaven. And it's a pretty exciting picture here. Revelation 4, verses 9 through 11. It says, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne, and they say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. And then listen, for you created all things, and by your will they were created, and they have their being. So this tells me that God is worthy. That He deserves our thanks. Have you ever truly sat down and considered the fact that God is worthy? That He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. And why is He worthy of our praise? Well, it's back in Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Why is He worthy? Because He made us. All that we are and all that we have is in His hand. Let me tell you something. You and I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for God. Because He created every one of us. We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. When you think about that, the strength we have, the food and the shelter that maintain our lives, the blood and the breath we breathe, the time we have, all of those things are a gift from our Creator. Every necessity of life comes from God. So He deserves our thanks because He created us. But really, He's more than that. If you're still in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, and verse number 12. It says, in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. God is worthy because He made us, but God is also worthy because He sent His Son to save us. Jesus was slain for our sins. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. I mean, God made us. God provided for our salvation. Isn't that something to give Him thanks for? Song we sing sometimes, a little chorus says, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. God is without question deserving of our praise and our thanksgiving. But there's another reason why we should give thanks to God. And that is because to understand Him better is to see Him as He is, and that causes us to be thankful for what we see. Now, there are three important things that I think we all need to know and accept concerning the person of God that I believe will cause us to give Him thanks, the thanks that He is so richly due and that He deserves. Let me give them to you. The first one is this: God is real. God is real. God is not a character in a storybook. God is real. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. The heavens declare the glory of God. Every time you look up into the sky, you know that God is real. That God is real. I want to tell you, God's thumbprint is all over human history. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Beginning of verse 26. It says, from one man, He, God, made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, And he, God, determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. I hope you got that. God created everybody. God put them where he wanted to put them. And it was God's intention that every one of us reach out to him and find him because he is close by to us. Verse 28 of that same chapter says, "For in him, in God, we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." God created us. God provided a plan of salvation for us. And so if he did all that, he has to be real, amen? So God is real. History is really nothing more than his story. That's what it is. And even while we wait for him to finish the story, it's evident that God is the author and the director and the main character in the story that we call life. So God is real. Second thing I want you to notice is that God is revealed to us. You got to get this because I think some people don't have this concept. God is not discovered by man. He is revealed to man. You can't just go discover God one day. Now you can learn some things about God. Don't get me wrong. You can read about God. But to have a relationship with God, God has to reveal himself to you. And he has revealed himself to the world through the Bible, through the Word of God. Now, there are some people who say, well, the Bible is just a book that man has written, and I'm not sure whether it's of God or not. Well, I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verses 20 and 21. Now, before I read this to you, I got to know something. How many of you believe that this really is the Word of God? If you've got it, hold it up. You believe this is the Word of God? Of Almighty God. Every word of it. Okay. I just want to make sure. Now, verse 20 says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Now, this book is taught not by me and not by you, but if we learn anything, it's because the Holy Spirit is speaking. And he is revealing things to us about God. And he has revealed himself in his Word. He has revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, because Jesus was God's personal revelation of himself into this world. John 1:18 says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he," that's talking about Jesus, "Jesus has explained him." How do I know anything about God? Jesus explained him. How did Jesus know anything about God? He and the Father are one. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit listens to what the Father has to say, and the Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own. He speaks on behalf of the Father. So it is God who reveals himself. If you've been trying to figure out God on your own, that's admirable, but it's impossible. Give it up. But there is no prayer, listen, there is no prayer that God will answer quicker than the one when the person says, God, show me who you really are. God, reveal yourself to me. Really, he already has answered that question. He has already told us who he was when he sent Jesus into this world. Because when you saw Jesus at work, you saw God at work. When you read about Jesus at work, you read about God at work. So God is real. God is revealed. The third thing, God is relational. God is relational. He desires a personal relationship with you. And the only way that can take place is when we confess our sins to him and we ask him to forgive us of our sins. No scripture depicts the love that the Father has for us like the story that we looked at several Sundays ago about the prodigal son. What a great story. What great theology. That even though the relationship had been severed with the Father was more than willing to restore that relationship to its previous status when the Son came home. Why did he want to do that? God doesn't want divisions in his family. God wants oneness in his family. God doesn't want divisions within between those he created and himself. He wants those he created, all of them, to become a part of the family. And that's because God is relational in nature. I mean, there's so much more we could say about God that would strengthen our case as to why we should give him thanks. We could talk about how he sacrificed his son for us, how he has compassion for us, how he offers his guidance to us, how he knows our needs even before we ask, how he rewards us, how he has adopted us with full rights and privileges, how he encourages us, and how he shows no favoritism. And we could spend hours on all of those. But here's what I'm challenging you to do. Get to know him better. Get to know him better, and you can't help but thank him more for what he's done. But there's still one other reason I want to give you to think about. And that is, we ought to thank him because all of the circumstances of life are in his hands. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. I want you to say that with me. In everything give thanks. One more time. In everything give thanks. Now, let me tell you something. This is a command and not a suggestion. Not a suggestion. God makes very few suggestions. It's always, here's what I want you to do. And so this is a command. In everything, give thanks. And let's be honest, that's not always easy. But let me help you understand why it's possible. First of all, you're not giving thanks for bad circumstances. It's not what you're giving thanks for. You're giving thanks for the person who helps you through the tough times of life. Give thanks in everything. In everything, give thanks to God. Life is one of the most difficult things in the world to figure out. I mean, the truth of the matter is that none of us on earth have the wisdom or the knowledge to be able to tell somebody else why something happens one way in one person's life and the same thing has a different outcome in another person's life. None of us here can do that. We're not that smart. Life is not only the most difficult thing in the world to figure out, it's also the most difficult thing in the world to live out. Not only do you try to figure it out, but you try to figure out, how do I get up today and live another day? How do I live it out? Well, the first thing that we read about life in general is that God breathed it into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. So where does life come from? Comes from God. Comes from God. Jeremiah 10:23 tells us that a man's life is not his own, and it is not man's right to direct his own steps. Whoa. That would help a lot of us if we just get out of the way and let God be the guide. That would help a whole lot. That's what Jeremiah said. That's what the Spirit of God told Jeremiah. Man's life's not his own. It's not man's right to direct his own steps. And then Jesus tells us in Luke 12:15 that life is not just about your possessions. It goes a whole lot deeper than that. Because some people think, well, I measure the success or failure of my life based on what I have and what I don't have and all that kind of stuff. But that's not it. Jesus also tells us that he came so that we might be able to live an abundant life, to have life and to have it more abundantly. Abundant life. All the circumstances of life are in his hands. If you're one of his children today, nothing can get to you. Nothing can affect your life that is not filtered through God. Because the Bible tells me I am in the hands of God. I belong to God. And so if anything affects my life, it is filtered through God first. And God has promised me that he would never leave me. And God has promised me that he would never forsake me. And God has promised me that he wants nothing but the best for my life. Is life always fun? No. Is life difficult? Yes. Do you sometimes wish you lived somewhere else? Yes. Do you wish sometimes you were somebody else? Yes. To all of that. But God is the author and the finisher of life. God had Adam all stretched out there, I guess, and made him out of the dust of the ground. He looked like a man. He looked okay for the first man, I guess. Nothing to compare him to, right? I mean, I don't know. But he didn't have any life. He didn't have any life. And it was God that breathed life into him and made him a living soul. So God created man. God breathed life into man. God had a plan for man. But yet man all of a sudden decided, well, that's all well and good. I don't necessarily want to do that with my life. And so I'm just going to do what I want to do with my life because it's my life. And what happened? Well, Adam and Eve lost their house over it. They became homeless. They had one of their sons kill their other son. I mean, how does disobedience work out for you? Not very good. Not good at all, matter of fact. But when you realize that everything you're going through, God's going through with you, makes it a little easier because you know that there's not anything that God can't do. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for God to do. All the circumstances of life are in his hands. And then Paul tells us that eternal life is a gift from God. Now look, if all there was to God and life was what we have right here, it'd be the pits. It wouldn't be worth living. But you see, as a believer, what keeps us motivating, what keeps us going, is our hope. Our hope is not in this life. Our hope is in heaven. Hey, you may live to be 100 years old. Praise God if you do. But that's That's about that much on the spectrum of eternity as to how long you're going to live. Because you're going to live forever. That's what eternal life is all about. You're going to live forever. Now, that's good news for those who are saved. That's terrible news for those who are lost. Because you're going to live forever too. Just not where you want to go. Not where you want to be. You're not going to, if you don't know Christ, you're not going to die and that's it. Done. I don't care how much you believe some weird warp theory on death or not. The Bible says that God created man with a living soul, and he's either going to live eternally, he's going to experience eternal life, or he's going to experience eternal death. But I'm so glad that God not only created me, but that he sent his Son so that I could have eternal life and not eternal death. Look at 2 Peter 1, verse 3. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. It doesn't get any better than that. So why should I be thankful? I should be thankful because God deserves my thanks. I should be thankful because to understand Him better is to see Him as He is, and that causes me to be thankful for what I've seen. And what I've seen is that He's real. What I've seen is that He's revealed. What I've seen is that He is relational. And I ought to be thankful because all the circumstances that I have to face in life are in His hands. And He loves me. And I can't doubt that because of what He did with His Son. So, the psalmist tells us that we are to come into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We are to give thanks to Him and we are to praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. And His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's why you and I ought to be thankful. Not one day out of the year, but every day of the year. Pray with me. Father, we do love You this morning, and we thank You for all that You have done for us. We thank You so much today for what You have just taught us about Yourself and why we should give You thanks. And I pray right now that if there's anyone in this room today who has never given their heart and their life to Jesus Christ, that they might realize today their need to do just that. Because they owe their life to You, Father. You are the one that breathes life into them. You are the one that sustains them. You are the one that keeps them going from day to day. And they owe everything they have to You. Anything they have belongs to You. It's just on loan from You. But God, I pray that they'd realize that one day when they die, that it's either going to be eternal life or eternal death. That they're going to live forever. And eternity is a long, long time to have to live with a bad decision. So God, I pray that somebody here this morning might say, God, I know that You are deserving of my praise and my thanks. I'm asking You right now to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking You to come into my life and save me today. Thank You, God, for loving me, for dying for me, and for saving me. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer this morning with me, welcome to the family of God. Everybody that God calls, He calls him openly and publicly to follow Him. So I pray that you'll do that in just a moment. Father, there are others here today who are looking for a church home, a place where they can serve You. I pray that if You move in their spirit today and this is Your will for their lives, that they will not leave this service without having done what you've asked them to do. And I pray for those who are here who are struggling with circumstances in their life that they feel like are overwhelming them. I pray today that they might seek you. They might seek your guidance. They might seek your wisdom. They might yield their life to you and say, God, I've messed it up. I've not been able to do anything with my life. I need you. So God, bless them as well. And we give you thanks for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing. You come meet me here on the front right now. Just our musicians playing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed just for a moment. Did you realize what you were singing there? He's waiting to see who's willing to open the door and to let him in. Maybe that's your greatest need this morning, is to say yes to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You realize that today, that if you were to die right now in the condition that you're in, that you would not be spending an eternity in heaven, but you'd be separated from God forever. I want to pray for you. I want to challenge you to receive Jesus Christ this morning as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to ask you to settle the most important question that you'll ever be faced with in life, and that is what's going to happen to you after you die. We're not going to come to you or embarrass you in any way. We wouldn't do that. But if you'd be willing to say today, preacher, I've been running from this. I've been fighting this. And I know it's time to give in. I know it's time to surrender. So I want to ask God to save me today. I want to pray with you. If that's your need today, would you just lift your hand, just put it right up and then right back down? Say, just pray for me today, preacher. Thank you. Now, if you lifted your hand today, maybe you prayed that prayer with me a while ago to be saved. There's no reason to put that off. There's no reason to put that decision off. Because God's given you today. You don't know about this afternoon or tomorrow, but right now you've got that chance. And when God speaks, that's when you respond. I mean, if God's speaking to you, I've known a lot of people say, well, God's speaking to me, but I need to pray about it. No, you don't need to pray about it. You need to do what He asks you to do. Because that's the encounter. That's what you need to do. So if you raise your hand today, let me pray for you just a minute. Then I'm going to ask Brother Dana to sing, and I'm going to ask the rest of you to pray. And I'm going to ask those of you who raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to come, take a step of faith. Father, bless those who are in need of a Savior here today. Draw them to yourself. Thank you for loving them. Thank you for saving them. Let them see that in their own life here in these next few moments. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. You're praying, Brother Dan is singing. Why don't you come right now? Just take that first step. It's your time right now. Thank you. You can be seated for a moment. Well, you're glad you came today? Amen. Amen. I'm glad you came too. And we want to encourage you, of course, to come back tonight for our time of fellowship and worship beginning at 5 o'clock. So don't forget that. Also, the angels that I mentioned to you, about the toys and stuff, they're at all the entrances and exits. So please pick up a couple of those. We've got a whole bunch of angels that need to go out. So please help us with that. We'd appreciate that very much. Also, Brother Dan is having surgery again in the morning, so pray for him. Either he's got a good sense of humor or God does, because I'm not a morning person. And this week, two times I had to get up at 5:30. Because the first time they didn't do it. And I thought, man, that is bad. Why did you get me up? And then And then the second time they did do it, so I was thankful for that. I'm gonna do it. You know, they took out a lens, right? That's what they were doing. But you know, I don't really think this was worth me getting up at 5:30 to take out a lens. Just so, I don't think that was worth it. But well, they put one back in, just not that one, right? Okay. All right. Well, here's the good news. Jim, Jane, come stand with me, please. This is Jim and Jane Hicks, and they've been visiting with us for a little while, and feel like the Lord is leading them to become part of our church family, and we're glad about that. If you are, let them know. That's our way of saying welcome to you, and we hope you'll stay here at the end of the service and let us come by and give you the right hand of fellowship and welcome you officially into the family of God. So we're glad for what God has done, is doing. If God spoke to you today and you didn't do what He asked you to do, don't leave here before you talk to somebody and get that straight. Let's stand together. We'll have a closing word of prayer. Brother Jerry Shelton's going to come lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, in this time of thanksgiving, we ask that we remind ourselves to daily give thanks for the many blessings that You have bestowed upon us. Dear God, we thank You for this facility that we have to worship You in. We thank You for Your servant that You provided with us today to teach us about why we should thank You. We ask You to bless all of those servicemen in our nation and around the world that are helping protect us so that they give us our freedoms that we have, that we can use and enjoy this week. We ask You now to bless this Hillwood Church family with the addition of the Hicks. We ask that we will be a blessing to them as we know they will be a blessing to us. Dear God, we pray that You will be with each and every member of all of the nations of the world. Bless our nation, heal our woes that we have, and all the people that will be traveling over these holidays. Give them traveling mercies and bring them back safely to us. We ask this all in Your precious holy name. Amen.